Hola amigos, hola, hola, ¿cómo está? Gavina, ¿cómo está? Muy bien, muy bien. All right, the year is true. We got a lot to take care of on this one, so no modest wan you today. I think we're gonna have to get straight to business. This is the Audio Development Journal, in case you didn't know. Number X, fill in the blank. This one's gonna be called, what are we gonna call this one? Kicking Ass and Taking Names, alright? Got my cafe here. Get your, cafe ready. If you're that type of a lad, eh? It's all about the beans, you know. If anyone out there brews their own coffee, that's the key to good quality coffee. I've been looking into that 'cause probably gonna have my own coffee farm one day, right? One day. So anyway, kicking ass and taking names, right? So, you might have noticed some changes here on Truth Social. And if you did, good for you. You got a keen eye. We're going to talk about those today and why there some big improvements in terms of how we do things. And if you don't have any idea what's going on, that's partially, it's potentially your fault, or it's due to the fact that you may have tuned in at the wrong point and things have been evolving over time. So if you haven't gotten the whole picture, go ahead and do that. For instance, the white paper is a good, for the most part, summary of everything, but a lot has changed since that was written. We had just discovered this concept of the cloud chain, but hadn't yet internalized it and applied it to our thinking and how we go about things. So, for instance, we have open timestamps used for existence proofs, and until we have an up and running cloud chain, that was a necessary intermediate step. But once the cloud chain is up and running, there is no need for that, and we can do things a lot better using simply cloud chain transactions proposed by Root that will serve as existence proofs. Well, really, as we're going to get into, that is sort of the first existence proof, but what you're going to use in your block, in your cloud-based reference for your identity block, is going to be the transaction ID, more specifically, of the cloud-based transaction reward 6 blocks thereafter the block was proposed. In other words, the minor transaction which signifies acceptance of the identity block, right? So you gotta understand the differences between the cloud chain and the identity blockchain, and in order to understand this stuff, and it's important the language we use, right? So we're gonna try and hone in on that and do the best we can to describe things, but we are human, you know? We do make mistakes, but it really does work. So maybe think more deeply about it if you're not getting it. And a lot of these terms are being invented as we go, right? And that was part of the fallibility of describing this stuff early on, is we didn't have names for everything, and now, for the most part, we have the names we need, right? Cafe. So, first major change that you may have already seen is we no longer have this ridiculous system of blocks representing or being presented in actual, shouldn't say being presented, right? Gotta be careful. Of the hash of a block, right? Or the data therein being represented as the hash of the file that the block was presented in. So, long-winded, stupid way of saying that if you know Bitcoin, you know why there was a better way to do things, right? In other words, in Bitcoin, blocks are just data, right? And blocks are summarized by... So in Bitcoin, you have transactions, right, in a Bitcoin block. And these thousands of transactions are summarized in a Merkle tree, okay, which is part of a Bitcoin block header, okay? You also have the previous block hash. You have a timestamp. In Bitcoin's case, keyword there, or words, you have a nonce. With us, you don't, because for an identity block, that is not necessary. Mining takes place on the cloud chain, on the cloud chain layer. And where, if you don't understand that, you should, but we'll probably get into that, right? So, we now have blocks represented, or in other words, the data within a block, the TSN references within an identity block, more specifically, are summarized in a Merkle tree. And further, we now have reference IDs, which we sort of had before in that we were using the signature, but that's stupid for a lot of reasons, because you have all these unnecessary characters, right? These plus signs and this and that. But it also shortens it up, and it puts it into uniform length and lots of other good jazz like that. So we now have a hash of TSN reference signature, SHA-256 hash specifically for the actualies. You would naturally assume that that's what it would be, right? But we'll specify that just in case. So you have these hashes representing a unique identifier for a reference, which also enables you to make a Merkle tree of references in an identity block, which also enables you to make a proper identity block header, which summarizes everything within the identity block, which also enables you to properly, more efficiently store data within what you could call the identity blockchain. We're going to get into how there's different ways to look at the identity blockchain, okay? But the point is, you now can literally summarize the entire identity blockchain by the data that is contained within the identity block headers, which all reference each other within a chain, just like in Bitcoin, right? That's the chain part of it. Is each header or each header references the hash of the previous block header, right? The only difference being that in Bitcoin, you are actually hashing on the block header, so that is not necessary for our purposes, okay? The hashing takes place at the cloud chain layer, right? And so I guess why is that, right? Well, and this is going to be important later in this talk as well. In Bitcoin, you have all these transactions which are coming from different places, right? Which are being proposed to different nodes, and you have this idea of the mempool, which can be, you know, one node can have a slightly different version of transactions from another, depending on how they were propagated when they received them. So you have to have this sort of system of, you know, hashing and decentralized consensus, which adds transactions to the global blockchain, right? And we have this consensus. Well, from the identity block perspective on Truth Social, you do not need this because there's only one person, and that's Root, who is adding or appending the what is akin to transactions in our example are references, okay? So there's no consensus to be had on what gets into blocks, identity blocks, and when. That is strictly a product of Root's content creation, right? So it would be unnecessary to have this competition to see which references get in. That should be pretty straightforward, okay? The competition is going to take place at the cloud chain layer, okay? Because that is where you need a consensus of cloud chain transactions, okay? And yes, the identity block hashes will be included in certain cloud chain blocks or cloud blocks to signify the cloud chain network's acceptance of identity blocks and to record this Root's content creation record of history and ensuring what we call pseudonymous identity based proof of publication, okay? So, in other words, all this could be done as it is, as we're doing now, pre-cloud chain, but there's no way to know that I'm not making, I'm not building, simultaneous identity blockchains without one proof of publication cloud chain to represent the official record of my Root Keys content creation, right? Which is a public thing that anyone can view and anyone can help update and prevents Root from being able to change it himself or herself, right? So, let me explain where I was going with these recent changes. I started from the premise that you have this basic stack of the cloud chain and the identity blockchain and your block publishing server, which is where you publish both blocks, identity blocks from, and your content, including the actual files and such, right? And so what I wanted to do is see if I could get us to the point where the whole identity block part of the stack could be more or less, I guess you could say, solved, assuming we could, clone Bitcoin tomorrow, that things would be ready to go. Now, in reality, that's not the case, but I just wanted to see if I could remove a lot of the complexity and hurdles involved in the identity blockchain part of the stack, okay? So, if you go back to prior lectures where we spoke about the database research we had done, we spoke about why it would be silly to have these complex databases for the identity blockchain because it's just one person who has to be able to add to it, and essentially it would be a master or leader follower model, which would work, okay? But even with that said, such a database has some technical debt to it, not a lot in compared to things that are built in this space, but for as the non-techie, it's something. So I just wanted to see if we even really need that, and it turns out we don't. So here's the deal, right? Here's where I really get into things. We had been operating from the assumption that every cloud chain miner must also run an identity blockchain database, or run a node of, we're calling it, in addition to the cloud chain, in order to receive proposed identity blocks and, decide the validity of them and if they're going to accept them in the cloud chain network, right? And the deal is they really don't need, this really doesn't need to be a whole separate database that every cloud chain miner needs to run. And why is that? Well, two parts. The first part is we now have data that stands in and of itself, in that it is connected through this chain of hashes and block headers, and is, the more importantly, the second part is essentially all completely summarized in the cloud chain itself. So by running the cloud chain, you have almost like a pruned version of, you have all the, you, okay, let's be more specific. You have all the hashes of the identity blockchain headers within the cloud chain itself, right? That's the point. So you really don't need to have this big bulky database known as the identity blockchain as a cloud chain miner. You just need to know what the tip is, which you have in the cloud chain, okay? And you need to be able to get the blocks that Root is proposing, which are proposing to extend the identity blockchain tip, okay? And so now, which if you haven't gone to past ADJs, you should know that we've tightened up the cloud chain protocol, okay? And we're going to get into the specifics of that here and anything that might have been updated, but we've made that much more basic, okay? So there's an idea of the cloud chain protocol, which is very simple and we need to get right, okay? And then there's stuff that Root, we called it Root's responsibilities, or you could call it, the TSN protocol, which is, does not need to be known by cloud chain miners. So, because there is only, it would be unnecessary for them to know that, okay?